Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. I've mentioned this many times, but Legos are a pretty important part of my household, okay? It's as important as food in the pantry, it seems, sometimes. And there's a lot of Legos. We got Legos upon Legos upon Legos, and even in our attic, we have a whole bin of Legos that we just don't have room for. We are a Lego family. And I grew up with Legos, and my oldest right now is the one who's really into them, and my 10-year-old is slowly starting to get into them as well. And I'll tell you, Legos have gotten more difficult and they've gotten more expensive. Amen, parents? Yes, they have. Hallelujah. But they're awesome. They're great. It helps with creativity. And this is actually a very small Lego car that my son made. He just made a huge Millennium Falcon. He's done scenes from, he has a huge set that he saved up for and got at Disney from the Jaws movie, and it's got the huge boat and the shark sticking up out of the water. It's really cool and very impressive. So this is just, I didn't feel like carrying something big that would break, so I brought this one. This is just a, I don't even know if it's from a movie or who's in the car right now. Who's in the car? Do you know? Is it just a random car? I think it's just a random car. Yeah, it's just a random car. And who knows who's in there? I don't know. It kind of looks like Indiana Jones, but I don't think it is. But this is something small. I don't even know how many pieces it would be, but I'll tell you this much. One thing I've noticed over the years of building Legos myself, but also when he was younger, just getting into it, helping him build them. And even now, as he's doing it all by himself, I mean, he'll do it in record time, some of those sets. I'm like, that's supposed to last you a few days, not done in 2 hours, man. And but one thing I've noticed over the years when it comes to Legos is that every Lego piece in a set is important. Yeah, sure, the wheels on a car are very important, but I'm talking about the little tiny fender piece that is like the smallest piece in the bag. That's important to the completed product. Every piece, even the ones that are just, they call them like a one spot or something like that, just the one little one, even those tiny pieces that seem like, I don't need that piece, every piece is important. No matter how big or how small or how colorful or how cool looking, every piece in the set is important to complete it so it can do what it's supposed to do. If this was missing a wheel, guess what? It wouldn't roll. If this was missing the windshield, guess what? The guy would fly out. It'd be very dangerous for him. Okay? If this bottom piece wasn't here or the door, it just won't work and accomplish what that is supposed to do. Now, today is not, I'm not here to talk about Legos. What I'm here to talk about is the church. The church. You. And just like every little Lego piece in any given set is important for the finished product so it can do what it's supposed to do, every member of the body of Christ, every person in the room today, everyone that walks through these doors is an important part of the body of Christ. Every member, everyone that's, you know, those who have just started coming and are getting into it, you matter to God. And you matter. Well, I don't have any gifts. Every piece is important. Every piece is important. Every part of the body of Christ matters. And the message this morning, following our I Believe series, is I believe in the church. I believe in the church. You can't say that you believe in Jesus and believe in Jesus and his gospel that he died and rose again. You can't say, oh, I'm giving my life to Jesus. I believe in Jesus and not believe in the church. Because the scriptures say that Jesus died for the church. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. It'll be on the screen. Matthew, the first book in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says this in Matthew 16, 18. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, God's church, the church of Christ. I will build my church, and what? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want you to say this verse with me. Would you read it from the screen or in your Bible this morning? Read it with me together. Ready? Begin. Matthew 16, 18. Everybody nice and loud. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Yes, the church isn't perfect. Guess why? Because you and I are in it. That's why it's not perfect. But the fact that we are not perfect, the fact that the church is imperfect, doesn't make church optional. The church is God's plan A, and I promise you, there is no plan B. I believe in the church. And this morning, over the next few minutes, I want to give you four reasons why I believe in the church. Why I believe in the church. We just started this morning. I mentioned it earlier. This was our first ever new members class. We had about 30, 40 people sign up for it. And we're doing two separate classes. One now, this week and next week. And then one later in the fall with the rest of us and all those who want to be part of it. And we talk about the history of our church. We talk about our core values, which are right here on the back wall. We talk about our church theme. Know Jesus deeply. Show Jesus daily. Next week, we're going to talk about other things. Because people say, I want to be a member of Coastline Baptist Church. So I said, I'm going to preach a message on the importance of being part of a local New Testament Baptist church. And number one is this. Number one, what is the reason why? Because of connection. Because of connection. We belong to a body. I'm going to read some scriptures for you. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body. I got my fingers and my toes and my legs and my arms. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. The body is not one member, but many. Romans 12, 4 says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office or the same job, my hand is doing, my feet do, and on, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Connection is the heartbeat of the church. You were created to belong. Listen, you were created to be a part of something bigger. You were not created to float through this world alone on your own. In a world that celebrates independence and it's all over the place, in a world, in a country that celebrates independence, you don't need anybody but you. The Bible says that dependence on one another is strength, not weakness. I think it's really tough, especially for men. We want to do everything by ourselves. We got it. And I'll tell you, it's not weakness to lean on someone else for strength. It's not weakness to call out for help or cry out for help. No, depending on one another is a strength. Every person, every gift, every personality matters. Connection. Think of a symphony. I've had the opportunity to go to hear the Boston Symphony Orchestra during Christmas time, and it's beautiful. All the instruments, the choir, each instrument in that symphony has a part. Listen, I love to hear the violin played by itself in my living room. I love that. I love the sound of a violin. But when the whole orchestra plays together in tune, it's something magnificent. Produces something that just one instrument alone could never do. And that's the church. God designed us to function together. Each part, each person, each gift playing its role. And that is why, as your pastor, we've been talking about volunteers and being a part of serving here in the church, whether it's in class or in nursery or in sensory room with our special needs kids or on the worship team or greeting or holding a sign or helping coffee or cleaning up the parking lot, whatever it may be, we've talked about being a part. I've challenged you to identify your gifts. And I've prayed and asked God to help me identify. Some of you guys, I don't know what I'm good at. And I've said, Lord, show me where so-and-so would play a great, would serve in a great way. Because it's all of us finding our spiritual gifts given to us by God and finding your place in the body of Christ in the church. We have to stop. And listen, this has been going on for centuries. We must, as Christians, as disciples of Christ, as children of God, we must stop treating the church house, Sunday morning service, we have to stop treating church as an optional social club. It's been going on forever, where we come to church just so we don't feel bad, but I want to do this on this Sunday, and we don't go, and maybe I'll go next week. We have got to stop treating the church that Jesus Christ died for as an optional social club. Let me remind you, your presence in the house of God, your presence at Coastline Baptist Church matters. It's important, yeah, sure, to me, your pastor who loves you, who wants to serve you with the Word of God and prepare a meal from the Word of God that you can eat. But to God it matters. He's given you a church house. He's given you a body of believers that you get to be a part of. You need connection. And you can find it everywhere else around town. I understand that. I'm all for youth sports. I'm all for all those things. That's great. I'm part of it. I'm coaching soccer this fall. I get it. But there is no connection like connection through Jesus Christ in the house of God. Do you believe that, church? Can you help me out this morning as I preach? Yes, you need connection. You must, as a child of God, and I know this is hard for some of us, you have to pursue relationships intentionally. Some of you got to get out of your comfort zone. Listen, I am blessed, and I guess you're blessed too with something different, sure, but it's easy for me to talk to people. I like it. I grew up, my mom's the same way. She can talk to me. My dad's the same way too. It's not hard for me to spark up conversations or to keep a conversation going. For some of you, that is brutal. You're like, I have to actually talk to somebody? Oh, goodness. So you walk around and just pretend you're a mute, you know, or something. Anything you can do. I don't want to talk. I don't speak English. Sorry, you know. No habla español or whatever it is. I can't speak. Listen, I know that that's hard for some of you. I get it. I get it. It's hard for my wife. She's, for the first 2 minutes, she's like, we balance each other out. It's great. But guess what? Even though it's difficult for her, she still does it. Because that's what we're created to do. And God knows that we need it. You must connect with others. Be known and know others. Be known and know others. Real quick, I know we have some out-of-towners. I actually brought a hanky this week because I was sweating so bad last week. I feel like a Southern preacher, Southern Baptist preacher, man. How? Hallelujah. So, because it was hot last week. It's hot today too, but better than last week. Last week, the breaker was off for the AC. That's why it was so warm. So I should have preached on hell last week. It would have been a perfect week to do that. So, listen. I want you to do something this morning for me. I want you to, real quick, make it as awkward as you want. I want you to look around the room. Look around the room at everybody, okay? Some of you hate this, and I love it, okay? We got some visitors from out of town, and you're never going to see them maybe till next year, and that's fine. But there's a lot of people in here that we come every week. If you just looked around the room and said, I don't really know that person. I maybe know their first name, you know, and I don't want to make it weird by not knowing. They told me their name once, but I forgot it, you know. Just do what I do. I always say, how do you spell your name again, you know, if I don't. And what's terrible is when they're like, it's S-A-M, Sam. I'm like, oh. I didn't know if there was an I in there or two M's, you know, I just don't know. You got to connect. You need connection. You need connection. I'm going to say it again. You need connection. So if there's someone in this room that you don't know, after service, when we got coffee and bagels and all that stuff out there, I'm challenging you. I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you, because it's a command from Scripture to go and meet somebody. Hey, I'm Donald. Thanks for being here today. And listen, it's okay if you feel a little dumb sometimes. I remember there have been times that I've been like, oh my gosh, this is your first Sunday. I've been coming for 6 weeks. I'm like, how did I miss that? Okay, it's okay. Oh my goodness, I haven't even known. Praise God, our church is growing. It's a little bit easier to get lost in the shuffle now. We want to know, be known and know others. We need connection. Number two, kind of goes right with it. Number two, community. Community. Community is such a buzzword nowadays, not just in the church, but everywhere. Community, we need community. Community this, community that. We got this community, sports community, this community, all the fans, you know, of this community and all these different communities. But in the church house, what does that community mean? That means we bear one another's burdens. Galatians 6:2, a command from Scripture says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another until the day Christ comes. Exhorting, encourage, lifting one another up. We need community. Community is the glue that holds the body together. I said it in the first point, and I'll say it again. Life is not meant to be walked alone. It's not meant to be walked alone. Pain, anxiety, doubt, temptation will come in your life. Trials will come in your life. Storms will come in your life. But God provides, listen, God provides people to carry the load with you. Why do we just do it alone? I understand there's personality quirks. I understand some people, like I said, are introverted. They're very, very, I'm all for privacy, by the way. And in fact, there have been times I haven't been private enough, and my wife helps say, hey, that's family business. I'm like, you know what, you're right. There's a line, I get it. But for some of us, we are so private that we are carrying so much alone. We're carrying so much on our back by ourselves when God has given us person after person, soul after soul, friend after friend in the house of God, Coastline Baptist Church, to bear your burden. Listen, people want to obey the command from Scripture. There's disciples of Christ. There's Christians in this room right now. They want to obey the Bible. They want to do what God said. And what did God say in Galatians? Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill, complete, accomplish the law of Christ. But if you keep everything to yourself, if you keep all your struggles and trials and troubles alone, all in your own heart, and carry all that by yourself and don't tell anybody about it, nobody can help you. Nobody can be that shoulder to cry on. Nobody can share that Scripture. And by the way, you think you're all alone in this world with trials and struggles? You ain't. There's people all around you that have faced some of the same things that you're facing. And guess what? They've learned some life lessons along the way. And if you decided to humble yourself and be a part of community and say, you know what? I'm going through this. I hate it. I don't know what to do. I've been carrying it alone. And I just got to talk about it. That person listening could say, man, I've been through the same thing. And here's what God taught me. You need community. Church is the only place where you are expected to be known deeply, to be transparent, and still be supported. We think if everybody knows, you know, the real me, what I'm going through, what happened to me, whatever, if everybody knows it, if I'm completely transparent, nobody will want to talk to me. And when everybody has that same spirit, guess what? Nobody gets help. Nobody gets help. I have done my best as a pastor of this church since day one to be open and transparent about past struggles that I have had, about past addictions that I have struggled with. And God has used the transparency and the, listen, I know pride is a struggle for me, but I have tried by the grace of God to be humble, to humble myself, to be honest about struggles that I've had in the past, about things that I've been through, things that I've put myself through. I've tried by the grace of God to be humble and be open about that. And God has used, He will use your humility. He will use your openness. He will use your transparency about your life, your sins, your struggles, your hurts. He will use that openness and transparency to change the lives of others around you. I've seen Him do it with my own eyes. I've seen Him by the grace of God do it even with my story. Only God can take our mess and turn it into a ministry. Only God can do that. Community allows accountability. When you're open about your struggles, others are doing the same. And you keep lifting each other up. So when you're struggling, I'm helping you up. And when I'm struggling, you're helping me up. And we are in this fight. We are on this walk of life together. Community allows accountability, encouragement, allows growth. And without community, when there's no community in the local church and we're all just kind of doing our own thing and just kind of existing as a church, without community, faith becomes shallow. Faith becomes easily swayed. The devil knows it, which is why he wants to keep you quiet. He wants to keep those walls up around your heart. By the way, we all know that all of us aren't perfect. It's funny how even me, I've gotten my head to my, I was like, oh my goodness, in the past, if people knew this, nobody thinks you're perfect. Nobody, listen, if we're honest, we know that every marriage has struggles. Every parent has struggles in their raising their kids. Nobody's kidding. We know all that. And yet we still try to keep up the image like we got it all together. And nobody does. And that's okay. That's life. That's reality. We are supposed to be here together. So let me challenge you to show up consistently to the house of God. Not just when it's convenient. Not just when your schedule allows it. No, be here at the house of God. Be involved. Be part of community because you need it and I need it too. When we have Bible studies, be a part. When we start up small groups again this fall, be a part of it. That's a more intimate setting where you can talk. You can talk. You're going through scriptures. Be a part of it. Whatever's going on. Obviously, yes, our Sunday morning service. Be a part of it. Be here. Be part of community. Pray for one another like we did. Praise God. I was talking to my father-in-law this week. I was down in Holyoke with him when his father passed away. And I said, I text someone from the church and said, hey, someone, you know, my father-in-law's dad passed away, my wife's grandfather. Just pray for him. He goes, oh, you know, Fred already texted me and let me know. And I was so blessed by that. I was so blessed that members of our church are sharing their hurts with each other. That's what we need. That's what we need. Pray for one another. Celebrate together. Mourn together. Community makes faith real. It's when we walk through life together. The good, the bad, the ugly. The good, the bad, the ugly. And many of you have walked through struggles of mine, and I've done the same with you. And not because I'm the pastor, it's my job, although I believe that's part of a pastor's job, but because I love you. Care about you. You're my brother and my sister in Christ. When you hurt, I hurt. That's community. That's community. Number three, and oh, I love this point. This will be a fun one. Care. Care. This is about godly leadership. We grow under godly leadership. Ephesians 4:11 says, and He gave some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and it goes on, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and goes on, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hebrews 13 says, obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. The church is set up not to just be all willy-nilly, but God puts a pastor or pastors really to oversee the ministry and oversee the church. Listen, I'm thankful for a wife that loves Jesus and a wife that encouraged me in my faith, and I've done the same for her. And as a couple, as people who love Jesus and want to serve Him, God led, because He leads a family, by the way. I understand he's a pastor, but He led us to the Cape to plant Coastline Baptist Church. Those who were in the new member class this morning, we saw photos from day one back in 2019 at the house on Traders Lane in West Yarmouth. And we've seen what God has done. There's a picture of a few of us praying out in that lobby when there was no carpet, there was no classrooms. It was just a big, empty, messy, dirty building. But God put it on my heart and on my wife's heart, who lovingly submits to her husband, as the scriptures say, and follows, and we work together. We're a team. And God put it on my heart to come to the Cape and start a church and pastor a church. The role of a pastor is biblical. Doesn't mean I'm this authoritative king of the church. No. I hope you know. Listen, I'm right with you. I'm no better. Don't ever put any pastor up on a pedestal, because we'll let you down real quick. I've seen it way too many times in my life. But the role of a pastor is in the Bible. Leadership in the church is not about control. It's about care. It's about care. God appoints leaders, whether they're the pastor or even the kids' teachers or whatever. God appoints leaders in the church to equip you, to teach you, to guide you in your walk with Him. I'm not the Holy Spirit. And by the way, it's very easy for pastors, if they're not careful, and I know I did it as a youth pastor especially, and I've seen it in my life many times, where the pastor tries to play the Holy Spirit and says, here's what I think you should do with your life. I think you should do this, 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 and this. Don't go to that place. Go here. Listen, I'm not the Holy Spirit. I want to guide you according to the scriptures, what the Bible says. But you have the Holy Spirit inside you if you're a child of God. I don't know what your future holds. I don't know. Listen, there are some things I can say. I know it's God's will for you to read your Bible, because it's God's will for everybody to do that. I know that it's God's will for you to have a life of prayer. So I'll preach it because the scriptures say it. I know that it's God's will for you to be in the house of God as much as you possibly can when you're able. But there's a whole lot about the will of God for your life. I don't know where you're supposed to move. I don't know what job you're supposed to take. Now, there's pastors in the past that have felt that they can have an answer and have a word in every area of your life. I don't believe that's what the scriptures say. I'm a man, a flawed man, sinner saved by the grace of God. But God has placed me as the overseer of Coastline Baptist Church, as the pastor, not to control, but to care. Following godly leadership keeps you safe and spiritually nourished and aligned with God's purposes for your life. I'm going to preach on following the will of God. I'm going to preach on getting godly counsel. I'm going to preach on raising your family right. I'm going to preach on being true in your marriage. I'm going to preach on all what the scriptures say, because that's my job. That's my calling. And it's a calling of care, because I love you and I care. Without this guidance, we risk wandering. Oftentimes, there have been new believers that have, it's easy to miss, listen, scripture is easy to misunderstand sometimes. So God places pastors to help guide you. Listen, this is not a Pope thing where I'm the final say. No, the Word of God is the final say. But God does place pastors to teach the Word of God. Listen, I want to help you. I want to care for you. God designed the church to be a place where His wisdom flows through the leaders that He's placed and appointed to His people. And it's leaders making leaders. It's me equipping you to serve in the ministry. This is not a show. It's not the circus where I'm the monkey that danced up in the front and you clap for me. No. It's me teaching you helping you so that you are growing in your faith to where one day maybe it'll be you standing in front of a classroom teaching kids about the Bible. It'll be you standing up here worshiping God. It'll be you maybe preaching a message. It's us working together. So I challenge you, according to the scriptures that we just read in the book of Hebrews, to submit to spiritual authority, not as a burden. Oh, the pastor says, he preached this morning, must have been thinking about me. He's probably checking out my Facebook and saw all the things I'm doing. No. It's not a burden. It's an opportunity to grow. I know you do this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I hope that you pray for your pastor. I hope that you pray for the leaders in our church that help keep things going. I hope that according to the scriptures that you respect the leadership that God has placed for you in your life and in your church life and in your Christian life. Learn from their examples and learn from what God gives them. And listen, I know I'm not a perfect pastor. I know that I never will be. I'll do the best that I can as a bivocational pastor who works full-time in addition to this. I'll do the best I can in loving and teaching and leading and growing. But I'm just a man. That's all I am. A man that loves his family, that loves Jesus, and that loves you. It's my calling. And part of why I believe in the church is because of the care. Who God has given to you. And lastly is this. Number four, why do I believe in the church? Because of commission. Yes, we had number one was connection, community, care, and lastly, commission. We bear witness to Jesus Christ. John 13 says this, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching in admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The church isn't just about gathering, it's about scattering. It's not just about getting together, it's about going out. Every believer, every Christian, every child of God, every saved person in the room is commissioned to reflect Christ's love and God's truth. When you belong to a church, when you belong to a church family, your faith is strengthened, your gifts are sharpened, and your witness becomes more effective. Every one of you have a story to tell. And thank God they're all different. Every one of you has a story to tell. And we are commissioned to go and tell that story of God's grace in our life. And your local church, which for us is Coastline Baptist Church, your local church equips you to impact your neighborhood, your workplace, your family, the love, the teaching, the accountability found in community. You experience it all in the church. And the church, by the grace of God, empowers you to live on mission every single day. Whether it's helping out at the DY youth football games, serving food and showing the love of Christ, or whether it's serving in a class, or inviting someone to church, or passing out a gospel tract, or sharing a testimony at work, or bringing over some cookies to your neighbor. Whatever it may be, we have a mission to accomplish. And it's not impossible. It is possible through the grace of God, through the power of God in you. And the church equips. It's whether it's the preaching or the encouragement of a song that's sung that helps you, gives you some more oomph to get on with the rest of your week. Not just about gathering, it's about scattering, engaging in outreach. We have those tracts right by the door. It says, invite someone to church. And every gospel tract that's out there on the little rack on the back, yeah, has our service times. It's got a little picture of me. It's got our address. And guess what? It's got the gospel of Jesus Christ, the scriptures. I'm challenging. Some of you, you've been saved a long time. It's been a long time since you shared your faith with somebody. It's been a long time since you shared Christ. I know there's so many ways we can do it. I know sometimes it does take time. You're not going to shove something down someone's throat. I tried that for a long time. And guess what? Didn't work. It may have looked like it worked sometimes, but I think some people were just agreeing with me just so I'd shut up when I was a younger man and say, you need to look. Sometimes it takes time, but there's a lot of people looking for hope. There's a lot of people looking, craving peace because they haven't found it yet. And you have the answer. You know Jesus. You know the gospel. Your life has been changed by Jesus Christ. And there's people all around you who are stumbling through life trying to find purpose, and you work in the cubicle next to them, and you know that they're miserable, and you know that maybe you know them because they annoy you with how miserable they are, your coworker. Guess what? As miserable as they are, as frustrating as they can be to you, they need Jesus. Listen, I'm not going to act like I haven't had annoying coworkers or annoying, frustrating neighbors. But guess what? I have to remind myself, Jesus loves them too. And I'm no better. I'm no better at all. We are commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Serve your community. Share your faith. Live what you learn on Sunday all week long. Share what you experience on Sunday morning through the worship and the preaching of God's word. Share it all week long with those around you. Let the church shape you so you can shape the world around you by the grace of God in your life. It's a mission. Church, you've heard about connection. You've heard about being part of a body. You've seen the power of community, as we've talked about. Bearing one of the burdens, the care of a godly leadership. You've been reminded of your commission, number four, to live as witnesses for Christ. And all of these truths, we're driving to something. All of these truths have one purpose, and that's to help you belong fully and grow deeply in your faith and in God's family. And once you've embraced those four things, connection, community, care, commission, the next natural step is exactly what we started this morning at 9:45, and that is church membership. Being a member of a local church. It's the natural next step, taking your faith from just attendance to intentional belonging. To belonging, to being a part. Membership isn't just a label. It's a commitment to plant your roots, to flourish, to be fully invested in the life of this church. I'm not looking everywhere. No, this is my church that God gave me. And I'm invested in it, and I'm committed to it. Not the building, no, but the church that Jesus died for. I'm committed to it. Scripture say in Acts 2:41 about, says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. The church. Psalm 92:13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of the Lord. After connecting, after being part of community, after growing under the care of God's leadership, after living on mission, the next natural step is membership. It's not just a piece of paper that you sign. I'm a member now. It's not like a Planet Fitness membership. No, it's way beyond that. It's a declaration that you are committed, that you are counted, that you are planted in God's family. It's the practical step that says, I belong here. I'm investing in this body. I'm not just attending, but I'm committed. Being part of a local church provides accountability, opportunities to serve all across the board, and a platform to grow and impact others around you. That's the life of a Christian. And church membership is a part of that. I can't make anybody be members. And the truth is, those who just come and attend, we've been going 5 years, and this is our first new member class. We're just getting into this. This is I'm recognizing the importance. We need to do this. You want to be a member of this church? I want you to be. If you've been attending but not yet connected, we're going to have another class in October. We already started this week, and we have two classes per, you know, session, two sessions per class. And next week will be the end of it for that first group, and we got another one in October. And we'll keep doing this every few months until everybody that wants to be a member is a member. And we'll have sign-up sheets. We want you to be a part. Use this as an opportunity to deepen your commitment and plug into the life of Coastline Baptist Church. Membership is not about obligation, okay? It's about belonging and flourishing in the family of God. Growing up, My dad worked day shift for a good portion of time. So we were able as a family, mom, dad, my older brother, younger sister, to eat dinner as a family at the dinner table. We would eat dinner as a family, and it was not optional. It wasn't like, you know, well, you guys eat, I'm going to hang out and play video games in my room. That was never an option. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Like, if mom was cooking dinner, you better get to that table when it's ready, or there's going to be, you know, memories made, you know what I mean? And not the good ones, all right? You didn't get to call in, I'll catch it online later, or I'll eat later by myself. No, if you were part of the family, you had a seat at the table. And here's the truth. There were times, God bless her, that I didn't like the meal. Wasn't my favorite. I don't like meatloaf. Sorry. Still hate it to this day. But guess what? I still had to sit there and sometimes choke it down. It wasn't my mom's fault. I just don't like meatloaf. Meat should never be in low form, in my opinion. And I bet you that's in the Bible somewhere. I haven't found it yet. Sometimes there were arguments at the table. Sometimes it was a little tense, but you know what? The table is where I learned who I was. The table is where I felt loved. That dining room table was where family happened. And that's what the church is. It's God's table. And if you're a believer, you've got a seat. You've got a seat. The church has flaws. Yes, people can hurt you even if they're Christians. Even if they claim to follow God, they can still be a jerk. I know. But listen, if you walk away from the table, you'll miss the meal that God has prepared to grow you, to feed you, to send you out strong. So I'm challenged. Don't just visit the table. Don't just snack and leave. No, pull up a chair. Plant your life. Commit. Say from your heart, I believe in the God who sets the table, and I don't want to miss what he's serving. It's about being part of the local church. I believe in the church. Maybe you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. If you die today, you don't know if you go to heaven, you don't know if you go to hell, you don't know anything about that. Well, I want to help you today. Number one, Jesus died on the cross. The kids' memory verse today was Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the ungodly, sins of the whole world. He loves you. He loves you. God sent his only Son, John 3:16, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Their verse that they're going home with today to learn for next week is Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can know Jesus. You can give your life and heart to Jesus. You can find forgiveness from all your sins through Jesus Christ and his grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. We can't get to heaven by being a good person, because guess what? The scriptures say there is none righteous, no, not one. There is no one perfect. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. But God's gift of salvation is free to all who accept. And as a 10-year-old boy, that's exactly what I did. I gave my heart to Jesus Christ and said, I know I'm a sinner, but I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again from the tomb, and I'm giving you my heart and my life and asking you to forgive me of my sins. And he saved me that day. And by the way, when I asked Christ to save me all those years ago, that was a one-time decision of faith. I placed my faith and trust in him. It's not that every time I mess up, I got to get saved again. No, he died once for me on the cross. So I place my faith. Doesn't mean I'll live a perfect life. Doesn't mean I won't even need to ask God to forgive me for stupid things that I do in my life, because nobody's perfect. But when I placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ on that day as a young boy, he saved me and secured me. So if you have already in your life asked Jesus Christ to save you, forgive you, and place your faith and trust in him and the finished work of the gospel, you are saved. You don't have to do it again. I'm going to ask folks in a minute, if they want to pray and ask Christ to save them, to do it with their eyes closed and things like that. If you've already done that, you don't have to do it again. No, you're saved. But if you never had a time in your life when you've given your heart to Christ and asked him to save you, you can do that today. And if you're saved, but just not fully committed, stop dating the church and start belonging to it. Don't just attend. I love that you attend, but you got to grow. Don't just attend, connect, commit, serve. And for those visiting from out of town that aren't going to be here, your local church in your town, connect, commit, and serve. Because when you believe in the church, the message, I believe in the church, when you believe in the church, you're really saying, I believe in the God who is building it. Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.